Now, has anybody heard of an old computer game called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yes.
Right? All right, there's two people here that remember that. All three. Okay, good. All right. I knew you knew. Now, if anybody remember that, I mean, there was even a TV program for kids, right, that came along with that. It was an interesting program, an interesting software, because it pointed you to different clues, and your job was to be the investigator, right?
Yes.
The gumshoe, they call them, right? Now, gumshoes, you know, come on, and we're going to find the crooks. Because the crooks will give you pointers on where Carmen Sandiego was, right? And it was a clever software, because what it did is it actually took you to different countries, and it provided opportunities for you to be involved with different languages, so you could find not only your way around the world, but also learn languages, learn how to say different phrases in different languages. It was really cool. I thought it was a very clever how to do that. And our text today just basically reminded me of that game. I mean, we already are familiar with Paul's ortatory, right? Remember that word?
Yes.
We studied it, right? His way of exhorting, his way of pointing out how things were, and not only that, but what to do, which is one of the things that I don't like, you know, that somebody telling me what to do. But he goes on, and he's on a roll in these chapters and verses, and he's telling them how they should live, how the Ephesians should live. Those Ephesians in Lakewood, Denver, even in Westminster, I mean, it reaches all the way up there, right? And he says in chapter 5, be imitators of God. That's the first verse in chapter 5. Be imitators, that's where we were last week. Be imitators of God and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, right? Christ the example, he's showing us what love is. Love is not necessarily that just romantic feeling. Hello? Right? Which is where we usually go. When it says, I love this, usually what it means is I like it. But that's what love is. Love is even daring to do what we don't necessarily like, just giving ourselves to others. Now, in contrast to what he says there, in verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. You see, that's where Carmen Sandiego comes into play. You see, Carmen Sandiego was a crook. I mean, the worst of the worst. That's how he was portrayed in the game. And the thing is that every single crook in the whole wide world was working for her. Check it out. So all these crooks are being used to rob, to steal, to kill, destroy victims with deception about life. And here we are as gumshoes, right? Investigators, let's put it the right way. Here we are as investigators, keen on finding who these crooks are. Because we better know who's the one that is out there trying to deceive us, right? That's our role. So we need to be alert for clues. We need to be able to identify the crooks. Now, how do you know the deceivers among us? How is it that you can figure out what in our culture, in our ways, is trying to lead us astray? How do you figure out if you don't know their ways? If you do not know how they work things out, to deceive us. Now here in verse 14, Paul exhorts us again to live as wise, right?
Yep.
Right? To live as wise ones because the days are evil. So we better be on the lookout. We better be on it. Right? We better be on our toes about this. Now, wisdom is the one thing that all of us, regardless of where we live, regardless of our culture, regardless of our nationality, it doesn't matter any of those differences. Wisdom is one of the things that we all need on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that is something that everybody yearns for. I wish I knew how to do this or to do that. What person do I choose to walk with me for the rest of my life? I mean, big one, right? Those choices, those decisions are big. And we need wisdom. Because we may have people approach us and offer us the whole wide world, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we end up deceived. Do not live as unwise. Now, that seems like good counsel. But how do you know what is wise and what is not? Especially in a world that is so complex, with all the signals that are coming from everywhere, right? All the media that is just bombarding us. If it's not the radio, it's TV. If it's not that, it's Facebook. If it's not that, it's Instagram. And people are sending memes left and right. And they're just bombarding us with all these messages. And all we get is all this information. And it's just going at us. Okay, some of you just read the paper. And that's all right. But I tell you, even in the newspaper today, we get just all kinds of stuff being thrown at us. And all the marketing that's being done left and right just to sell us stuff. That alone would make us go crazy. So how do we know then what is wisdom? What is wise and what is not? As good gumshoes, right, investigators, we need to know what authentic wisdom is. Now, I say authentic wisdom because there is a lot of things that sound good.
Yeah. That's right?
Yep. They sound good and they're even logical. You know, and you've heard the term common sense, right?
Yeah.
They even show common sense. Imagine that. Because what is common among us may not be wise. And we need to know this so that we are not deceived in all these signals that are coming our way. Now, wisdom in Greek, that word wisdom in Greek is sophos. And that's where the name Sophia comes from. And of course, I was thinking of Scott's daughter all week long. Now, I don't like the idea of wisdom being female, okay?
Here we go.
I am going to hear about this. I tell you where I'm going with this because it's like hearing my mom all over again. I mean, it's right in there, right? Now, that's not a bad thing. My mom loves me, right?
Yes.
And I know that whatever my mom has told me along all the years of my life is just because my mom wants the best for me. But when I hear it as something totally different. Right? And this is what, you know, what I need to always reevaluate, the fact that she was right most of the time. I mean, even to this day, when I hear my mom's counsel, I pay attention. Even though I don't like it, I may not agree, but I pay attention. Because I know that there's a lot of experience of life that comes along with that. Amen, right?
Yes.
So yeah, Sophia is counsel, is insight, is divine revelation for us. Some even say that in antiquity, Sophia was the female reference of God. No, I'm just hoping to, I'm just watching. I don't have my glasses today, so I'm just trying to be clear. Because, you know, there's this thing about God only being male, right? Because we refer to God as he, right? I remember, though, there's this passage in Genesis that God said we created human beings in what? Our image, right? Says created in God's image, male and
female.
Okay, I rest it right there. Okay, so now perhaps this is the idea that really ties things in with the identification of Sophia with the Holy Spirit. Right? Because the Holy Spirit is a being that we do not necessarily can identify as male or female, but it may be what that is. And it's not that male or female is important in this case. Wisdom is wisdom, period, right? But in so many places and in so many people, there is this rub with patriarchy. There is this difficulty with the perspective of the male being. And I tell you, most of the time I do agree with that. But we are still created men and women. Right? So there are differences to who we are. In any case, how do we know wisdom? That's the big question. And I'll give you my answer. All right, I'll use the pastor's privilege today. If it walks like a duck, wobbles like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. All right, please remember that. In other words, to know wisdom, we must know what wisdom looks like. Now you may say, well, but wisdom comes from different perspectives. I mean, there's wisdom coming from the Muslim tradition. Wisdom coming from the Buddhist tradition. Wisdom coming from all kinds of different traditions. And even in the U.S., there's the humanist tradition. There's the liberal tradition. There's all these different perspectives on what wisdom is. How do we really know? What's the right one? Now, I will answer with this. For Christians, the answer is Christ.
Amen.
Agree?
Yes.
I mean, otherwise we would be called something else, right? But for Christians, the answer is Christ. And Christ left us a counselor. You remember that? It's, I will be leaving now, guys. But I will leave you the counselor. He will lead you to the truth. Right? And that counsel we know is the Holy Spirit. And that is the one that will lead us to the truth. And Paul says in verses 6 to 8 that we are to be children of light, not children of disobedience. Children of light, not children of disobedience. Now, that's speaking directly to me. You guys already know I'm the rebel, right? I'm the one that is against everything that is right. My initial response is, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to hear it. And I just have to talk to myself. Yeah, you thought I was all okay. Be children of light. This is one of the reasons why I truly believe that Christianity is about learning what the light is. Christianity is not about being perfect. Because we cannot do that on our own. But there is one that is perfect, right? The one that came to the world, Jesus Christ, that showed us the way. So as much as we know and we learn from Jesus, we are being led then to be wise. But there is wisdom for us all over the scripture. Proverbs 9, I'm going to read this passage for you. Starting on verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine, and she has also set her table. She has set out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town, you that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. Now, I don't know if you can hear in that passage, there's a few things that just pop up. First, wisdom is speaking, right? And is referred to as she, right? And she's laying all this good stuff out for those. And then he says to the simple, you're welcome. And if you're not, come in. There's an invitation, right? It's an invitation for us to participate in this wisdom. She's shown us to walk in the way of insight. And this means that Sophia, wisdom, is not superficial. But also tells us that those who are simple are welcome, and they're welcome to be there. Now, it goes on, verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker, a scoffer, wins abuse. Whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you, and the wise, when rebuked, will love you. Notice the difference? Notice that contrast? I'm going to tie this up for you, okay, please? Okay, don't go away. It says, give instruction to the wise and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will gain in learning. So, in other words, wisdom seeks to learn. It's always open to learning. It's always open to direction. It's always open to giving that right push in the right way so that we can weave our words away through the journey of life. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord. Now, you know this one, right? What is the fear of the Lord? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. In other words, wisdom seeks learning, is always open to learning, is not proud. Right? If you teach something to the unwise, what will happen? They'll hedge you. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Right? That's pride. But the wise say, come again. Help me hear that again. I want to be open to what that is, because you know what? I need to learn more. All right, great. I have another 35 minutes. Now, someone should have shown this passage to both presidential candidates in 2016. Amen. Yeah. Right? And I think it should be required reading for every politician in the United States of America and in the world. Now, Paul turns to the positive side of his exhortation. He says, understand the will of God. Understand the will of God. Now, there is a competition in this world. God's will, my will. God's will, my will. Ain't it right? I mean, we're always fighting. Should I go to the mall today? Right? Of course I should go. That's simple. Should I buy another computer? I got 10 already. It doesn't matter. I need one. Right? Or another instrument, in my case. Yes, you should have 50 guitars. Why not? Yes, there you go. Eric Clapton did more than that. I mean, you see the logic? Even though it's common, it doesn't mean that it's sensible. Understand the will of God. It is so important for us to know what God is looking for and what God is hearing and wanting from us. Now, we always ask for the will of God when we have a big decision to make, right? Yes. I mean, that's when we say, what is God's will for my life? Now, I want you to notice that it's not only in emergencies that we need to be looking for God's will. Paul says that, understand the will of God, and immediately goes in verse 18. He goes straight to prohibition. Yes, there's that word. Ooh. He goes, don't get drunk. Right? Don't get drunk. Why in the world will Paul say, that? Why in the world would Paul get God's will mixed up with drinking? I don't know. Have you ever asked that question? It's interesting because he goes right to it. Understand the will of God and please do not get drunk with wine. But be filled with what? With the Spirit of God. And that's why I think people call alcohol spirits, right? Because that's where they go when, I mean, you get what I'm saying? But he gives, know the will of God, please don't get drunk, and then goes to the positive again. Worship with gratefulness. I mean, he elaborates on it, right? He goes on and says, sing hymns. Give prayers to God. I mean, stay on this mode through your life. I think that is good stuff. Hello? Yes. Why? Because that will help us to be in tune with what the Spirit of God is trying to tell us and guide us in. Now, this is my opinion, all right? I'm just going to put this little paragraph, okay? All right? And this is not an attack on anybody. But if your vices make you stupid, then you're being a fool. That includes me. I mean, those are words for wisdom for me. Whatever the vice is, I mean, today we have, you know, cannabis, you know, in our midst. So it could be drinking, it could be that, it could be partying, it could be whatever it is. If the vices make you stupid, then you're being fooled. And I don't want to be fooled. Or be a fool. I used to. Right? I used to be. I was fooled all my life. I just don't know where I was. My gosh. But God spoke to my life. And God was really doing this because He cared for me. And He wanted me to see that there was a different way. I didn't have to react negatively to every good counsel. Don't be a fool. Open your eyes. Open your ears to what God is trying to say. Now, what is the antidote? Understand the will of God and worship with gratefulness. Understand the will of God and worship with gratefulness. You see, the will of God is that we are not fooled by the vices of the world, but that we lean into the awesome blessing of Sophia. Giving thanks and worshiping. Now, I know that this sounds constricting, right? It sounds constricting because there's a lot of don't do this in that. Don't go there. Don't associate with these folks. Don't drink until you're drunk. And today, okay, I'm going to finish with this. Today, the fact is that correction is not popular, is it? Who are you to tell me what to do? I mean, that's... I'm an adult. I know what I'm doing. Now, this is what one professor that I was reading in commentary, his name is Scott Shuff, he says. This is a long quote. Stay with me, please. Condemnation of the world's morals doesn't tend to sell well today, both because it is associated with preachy, potentially hypocritical form of Christianity that many today want to disassociate from. And because the contemporary emphasis on social justice tends to make us downplay distinctions between the church and the world. I want you to hear this. This I thought was awesome insight. We don't want to hear condemnation because we associate that with being preachy. Right? And nobody likes a preacher. I'm sorry. Right? Nobody likes someone to tell them because, I mean, we live in this land where we are in the pursuit of happiness, right? Is it in the Constitution, Bill of Rights? I don't know where that's written, but it is there. And we are always thinking that we need to seek happiness in our lives. That's the goal. So why are you telling me that I can't do this or be that? When that might make me happy. But the other part, the contemporary emphasis on social justice that tends to make us downplay distinctions between the world and the church. There's no difference between, and you know what? I agree, 90%. Because I don't know about you, but I do know this. In church, there's all human beings, right? In church, there's a bunch of us, people. And we people, we're all screwed up. We don't have it together. That's the reason why I'm here. If I had it together, I didn't have to come to church, did I, right? I didn't have to seek for wisdom. I already had it. But I come and I participate in this. Why? Because I know that this is the source for my life. This is the source for everything that is good for me. And if I don't hear it all the time in my life, I tell you, I'll go on with my own way of doing things and I'll be all messed up again. And yes, there is a distinction in Christianity. It's not that we're better. The distinction is very simple, people. We have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
It is all that differentiates us from the world. And if we do have Jesus in our lives, then we should live according to his lead. And that's our challenge. Now, this is the last sentence in his comment. But perhaps in this context, it is good to remind ourselves that Christians are still called to a different kind of life from that one practiced by many around us. We should instead be filled with the Spirit of God. Where in the world is Sophia? I want Sophia in my life. I want wisdom. I need it. I need it every moment. I need it in every interaction that I'm in. In other words, I need to be in a state of worship constantly. Amen? All right, come on, girl. Come on. I didn't cue her on knowing that. But truly, truly, this is the fact. The more that we seek and are open to God's leading in our lives, the more that we say, Lord, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I need your direction. And you know, I know that you are good to me. You want the best for me. So that I want to follow. The more we do that in our lives, the more that we are able to hear and to be just soaked in what he wants for us. There's another 3 pages. But that I'll leave for the other week. Now we're going to sing this one song. I think we